What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 125 of the Ridge Hunter Outdoors podcast. Finally back on a Monday. We're back on schedule. I'm going to try to keep it that way for as long as I can. Obviously, some stuff's going to come up, like it always does, and then it'll get screwed up again. But then we'll get back. For this coming week, we do have a guest planned for 126 as well. But on this episode, number 125, we got Rodney Hawkins back on as part of his partnership. We like to have him on every 6 months or so, so he can kind of give you guys updates on the real estate market, the trends that he's seeing, and whether that be residential or recreational. He's in all of it, so he can tell you guys about that. He's going to do that on this episode. He's also going to let you know everything new he's got coming up with RG Outdoors. That's his company. He does have a lot of new stuff going on. He's been really busy over the last few months, so he's going to tell you about all of that on this episode. He's got some potential events coming up as well he's going to do. I'll keep you posted on those. He's just got a lot of exciting stuff, so you'll want to stay tuned to hear all about that. But before we get into it, I want to let you guys know about an event that we have coming up on May 25th. So it's this Saturday. We're going to be at Samdale Lake in Illinois, Southern Illinois, and we're going to be doing a whitetail workshop with our friends at Tactical Approach Outdoors. So Austin and his brother will be there for that. We're going to have basically just a day talking about hunting strategy. We're going to talk about land management, how to take care of your farm, how to set it up for wildlife. He's going to talk about mobile hunting strategies. He's going to have saddle setups. So if you guys aren't familiar with those and you would like to try them, you can try them at that. You can check all that stuff out on Saturday, May 25th. You have to get tickets, though, and you can do that on his website. That's tacticalapproachoutdoors.com, and there'll be a whitetail workshops, and you want to make sure you hit the Illinois one for May 25th, and you can get your tickets and show up and hang out and have a good time. It's going to be kind of an all-day deal. We're going to be outside under a shelter. We're going to have somewhat of a presentation type of deal where we'll talk about this kind of stuff, but most of it's just going to be like open discussion, kind of campfire setting, where we're just going to talk hunting stuff. We're going to share with you guys what has worked for us. You guys can share with the group what works for you. It'll just be a good day of talking hunting and land management and that kind of stuff. So make sure you check that out over at his website. And you can also go to our Facebook, and I have it posted on there as well. And I will repost it again, so you can just follow the link on that post to get your tickets. So without further ado, let's get into episode number 125 with Rodney Hawkins. This is the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. All right, Rod, it's been, well, I guess probably about 6 months. That's when we usually try to do these. So,
October, was it?
Probably.
August, somewhere around in there.
Somewhere right in there. So I know you've got a lot going on. You had a lot of stuff between now and then. So
yeah, there's a lot changed since then.
Let's just dive right into it. Where do you want to start?
I'll start at real estate, I guess.
Okay.
So Jacob's got his real estate license.
Mm-hmm.
So he's starting to work with me. And he's actually has to work under me for a while. Any new agent has to work under me for a while until they get...
Basically, like an apprenticeship type of deal?
Yeah, the state of Illinois changed things about 4 years ago. They changed their post-licensing to... you had to have it within a year after you got your license. Mm-hmm. It's continuing education, basically. And now they've changed... And now... a new agent can't do any negotiations, can't write any contracts, can't do anything until they have that post-licensing.
Really?
Yeah. So it's not cheap to get your real estate license. By the time you pay for the course, license, pay for your fees to get mm-hmm. started. So it's kind of like, man, throw another $250 at it right now. So,
right.
But he's getting ready to take it so he can at least get out on his own, but he still has to work under me for a while to get trained.
That's probably something you want to do anyway.
Yeah, it is, because you don't want to make mistakes when it comes to a real estate contract and stuff.
No, you don't want fly-by-night guys coming and going in the real estate business.
No,
you
know?
You want to be able to trust your agent for sure.
Yeah.
I just meant as the agent, it's probably good to work under somebody for a while just so you kind of get the feel for things and all that.
Yeah, it is, because there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot in the paperwork. There's a lot in the legal. A
lot of nuance.
A lot from start to close. Everybody thinks you go show a house or list a property and you're done. It's mm-hmm. not true. I mean, you got a good 45 days of stuff in there off and on all the way up until closing.
Right.
And, but with that being said, he's going to do well. He's already, he's just old enough. He's 20 years old. So he's got his real estate license at 20. Well, he's got friends now that are, actually, we've been showing houses to one of his friends.
They're in that market.
They're 23 years old.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So he's going to reach a demographic age that I'm not reaching. So I think he'll do well.
That'll benefit the company then as well.
Yes, that'll benefit the company as well. We have a young guy in Centralia. He's probably 21 right now, and he's going to Great Guns. You know, after he's had he's been doing it about a year and a half, and right now he's second behind Brandon in sales at about $3 million already for the year. So that's
really
tremendous for somebody that's 2 years out. But
right,
he's a go getter. He's been doing the door knocking and cold calling, and
there you go.
Every FSBO that he sees, he goes and talks to. So
right,
but Connor's doing a wonderful job. So, but real estate market. I've been selling some stuff here lately. Got some listings, so that's good. Got an auction on 100 acres of tillable coming up in Richland County here not too long.
That should be a good one.
That'll be a good one. That ground's about 10 grand an acre. So
I was going to guess it. Yeah, 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Got a pretty good lead on 260 acres between Clay and Wayne County. Some rec, some tillable in the state. Hopefully that'll come through. Selling some houses. Sold 100 acres of recreational ground. On 70 of it was on the little river bottom, or the little Wabash up in Louisville, right on the
I remember seeing that
river.
One listed. Yep.
Yeah, and that's a piece, if I had money, I would have bought.
It looked like a pretty good farm.
It was, for the simple fact that the Wabash ran down the west, or the whole south side, and then it curved and ran back along the west side and come back in. So it was just a big old natural funnel.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen tracks and roads. There's a creek in there, and it just looks like they've just got the bank ate up. You know?
One of those places where they kind of have to go through.
Yeah, they have to go through there. Yeah, so got that closing. Actually, that's closing.
Those are the easy ones to sell, right?
Those are the easy ones to sell. Yeah, which prices are staying up? You know, the prices are on everything's up basically, but
yeah,
the housing market, things are selling if they're priced right at a good price.
I was going to say, you're
a good
still
quality.
Seeing the same with residential as well.
Yeah, seeing both. If you got a good piece of acreage, which farm ground's going to sell because everybody wants it.
Yep.
Recreational ground, if it's priced too high, it's not selling. But if it's priced right, it's selling.
So that's what I was going to ask you. There was a little over 11 acres here, not too far from where we're at, sold for like 57,000. So it's 5,000 something acres. Is that kind of where it's at now, Rod? Or?
If you that was up around Round Perry, wasn't it? Is that the one you was talking about?
No. This is this would be north of Boylston.
Okay.
Our partners at Flambeau Outdoors have some of the best solutions in the industry for your decoy and storage needs. They're focused on innovation that matters, and they build their products to last. They're probably most known for their whitetail, waterfowl, and turkey decoys, and that's for good reason. They've got a lot of quality options at great price points in each category. The Boss Buck is a personal favorite of mine in their whitetail line, and I've been throwing their Stormfront mallards in front of duck blinds for years now. Don't sleep on their storage solutions either, though. Whether it's fishing tackle, firearms, ammo, or archery equipment, they've got you covered. They just stepped up their archery storage game, too, with the new Formula Bow Case. It might just be the best bow case on the market, and I'm really excited to use it this season and for years to come. Make the most of your time outdoors with Flambeau. Realism that gets results. If you guys plant food plots and you don't know who Grandpa Ray Outdoors is, you need to look them up. They specialize in providing the best nutrition for white-tailed deer on your property, starting with the soil. They've got a full line of high-quality food plot seed and plant foods. With over 14 different food plot blends to choose from, you won't have any trouble finding what you're looking for. They've got fall and spring blends, corn and beans, switchgrass, liquid fertilizer, soil test kits, you name it. When it comes to planting, they've got it. They're not just about selling their products, though. They were started in 2015. John, the owner, has been in the business since 1991. So with that knowledge that he's acquired, he's going to be able to answer any questions you have about what blends would be best for your specific property. That way you can achieve the best results possible. Like us, John and his team don't believe in a cookie-cutter approach to wildlife nutrition. They're going to treat you and your situation individually. We've used tons of their seed on client properties, on our own properties, and the results have always been as good, if not better, than advertised. That's why we partnered with them in the first place. If you want to, go to GrandpaRayOutdoors.com, use the discount code RHOPODCAST, that's all lowercase, no space, and you get 5% off your entire order there. You guys need to go check them out if you care about getting the most bang for your buck when it comes to your food plots.
We're anywhere from 35 to 5. You're seeing some stuff creep over 5 if
this
it's
was like
small acreage. Yeah.
So it was going to get, I thought it probably was going to bring the most. It was it was a live auction, and it was also a simulcast on the internet, so you didn't have to be here to bid, but you could be. So I thought it was kind of maybe he got the most out of it he could have.
Yeah. It's not surprising to see stuff pushing the 5 market now. Actually, up in Effingham, you're seeing 6 and 65 up in Effingham County.
For rack ground?
For rack ground. Because it's, everybody wants, as long as it's not flood ground. But,
right.
Because you can go out there and build a house, you know, 4 miles south of Effingham, and out there close to Lake Sarah.
Yeah.
You know, so that's pushing it up some out there. But in this area, you're looking, you're still at 35 to 45 range.
Mm-hmm.
We've been seeing just, like I said, a few tick 5. That ground up at Orchardville, it sold here a couple months ago or a month and a half ago. You know, it was mixed. It was tillable and recreation ground. It brought 6,800 an acre, which I thought was about right for it.
Yeah. That's so, how much tillable was on that piece?
Of the 80, I think there was 26 tillable.
Yeah.
And then of the other 40, I think there was about 20 tillable, something like that.
Mm-hmm. So obviously you're seeing the tillable drive price for recreational property if it has any of that on it. But what about like marketable timber? Are you seeing that?
Marketable timber, yeah. Here's the thing with marketable timber. It's tough to price, and I will say this, because basically you have 40 acres of timber, woods. It's still just recreational ground.
Mm-hmm.
So
true.
You're still throwing it out there at that $4,000 an acre mark.
Mm-hmm.
Then what we can do, we work with a couple foresters from Clainsboro and over around Opdyke. You can have them come in and look at that, and they can tell you if you got a marketable harvest or not.
Mm-hmm.
And what they'll do, they'll go through there and mark the trees, and then they take a bid, and or they will let that out to bids to several different timber buyers.
Right.
So you can basically get more for your timber that way.
Mm-hmm.
But still, at the end of the day, it's still a $4,000 worth of piece of ground, even though it's got $60,000 worth of marketable timber on it.
Right.
So basically, you know, it's kind of like tillable crop land. You know, it's $10,000 an acre, whether it's got beans on it or it's not.
Right.
So, but we had a meeting here. It's been about a year and a half ago, and one of the forester guys was in there. And I'm not out here to diss just loggers, but anytime you got a piece of timber ground that has marketable timber on it, just don't sell it to the first logger it comes around. Because what they're doing, they'll lowball you.
Yep.
But Mike was telling us, you know, they had 80 acres of timber that a guy had had a log buyer come in and told him he'd give him $60,000, I think, for what timber was on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike knew the guy, so he went to him and said, "Hey, well, let us come in there." Well, they got him $200,000 worth of timber.
That's a little bit different.
That's a little bit different.
Just a shade.
Yeah. So if you got anybody that needs to market timber, get you a good forester.
Yeah.
They don't charge you nothing, and because they get paid by when the seller, or they get paid from the buyer when the sale happens.
Yeah. That's anytime you can get multiple people in there to look at it and, for lack of a better term, create a bidding war on it, you're going to get more money for it.
Yeah.
If it's worth it, you know. And like you said, you don't want to, if you got something with timber on it, you don't want to just take the first guy that comes by and says, "Oh, hey, I'll give you that for it." Well, it sounds like a big number, but 60 compared to 200 is not.
Yeah. And then you also have just the average. They'll go out there and they'll rape the timber off of it, and then you've got a useless piece of ground that's not worth $2,000 an acre.
Right.
For, what, 15 years?
Yeah.
But after about 6 years or 7 years, you got some pretty good hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But
Yeah,
there's no tree to put a tree stand in because they're not big enough.
Yeah, you know. You also have to decide what you want to do. What your goal is, right?
Yeah, yeah. So
if you want to have trees to hunt out of, probably don't go cut them all down.
Don't go cut them all down. Yeah, so
for sure.
But inflation index went down yesterday, so that's going to help interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, if they keep going down, interest rates right now on a 30-year home loan is like 6.75%.
Yeah.
So that's the market's still staying up. Like I said, if it's priced right, it's selling no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm. Do you see that going down, the market shifting anytime soon?
No. I read a lot of stuff, and one of the driving forces is what I've read. Take it for what it is, but I've read where millennials have figured out it's cheaper to buy than to rent.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of that. I don't know what generation we're even in now, but
old. Me and you's old.
Me and you's old. That's right. Boomers.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you're a millennial, so you own a home.
Mm-hmm.
You don't rent a home. How many of your friends that you know own a home now instead of renting a home?
Right. Yeah. Most of them.
Yeah. So, so that's one of the reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And, it seems like everybody says, well, a lot of people are leaving Illinois. Well, there's a lot of people moving into Illinois, too, just for one reason or another, whether it's work, whether it's they left 30 years ago and now mom and dad needs help and they're coming back home or, you know, whatever. So, but yeah, the exodus is more than what's coming in, but still, every town is selling a lot of houses if they're there.
Yeah. I mean, the people coming in, they just like Texas.
Yeah, they might.
Texas or Texas?
Clearly Texas. Not Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah, not in Texas.
Yeah, I'm not familiar at all with the home part of the real estate, and really not farm, but in our business, the guys are buying hunting ground.
Yeah.
Rec ground, you call it, which is recreational ground, which is great. And they're doing it. They're not living here full time. They're buying rec ground. They may have a cabin on it. They may have a fifth wheel camper they're pulling up here for hunting season.
Yep.
That's the guys I'm familiar with. And you and I talked a little bit at the Illinois Deer Classic, I believe. And I was asking you then if the market had turned down any, and you said it really hadn't, which kind of surprised me a little.
Yep.
But those guys, they've got the money. Mm-hmm. They're for the most part, they're not borrowing at least all of the money to buy that ground. And so the interest rate's not affecting the people that I know are buying real estate because of the rec business. But that's really totally separate from the housing market, I would assume.
I would say on an average, on my tillable rec ground, I bet myself, the sales that I do, I bet 70% of them's cash.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't shock me. Yeah.
And there's a lot of cash out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we are seeing a tremendous amount of farm ground selling. I mean, started about 3 months ago because the prices have come up. And there's people, I mean, there's estates and people, just letting go of farm ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are also seeing an uptick in the recreational ground being on, right now. Right.
Yeah. So, well, it seems like the reason for a lot of people to buy ground in Illinois is either because we have good farm ground and we also have good deer hunting.
That's true.
And those are like the two things that I think probably set Illinois apart from a lot of places in Kentucky, even a lot of places in Indiana,
mm-hmm.
parts of southern Missouri especially, when you get down to this part of the world, and out-of-state guys that are wanting to hunt. Obviously, they can just buy permits over the counter even if they don't have enough ground to have landowner permits, but then there's that. And then especially the farming thing. I mean, Illinois is a huge agricultural state, so it seems like Illinois is always going to have a market for ground, land, whether that's residential partly or not.
Mm-hmm. What Scott alluded to was there has been a lot of people come and buy the recreational ground for the simple fact you just mentioned. We have big deer or, you know, we have good quality deer.
Right.
And we have, I mean, I just sold 55 acres to a guy from Alabama that's been coming up here and hunting for 20 years. And he lost his wife last spring. And his tax man said, you got to spend some money. So he thought, well, I might as well go spend it where I can enjoy it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I don't know. I don't want to put you out on a limb, but would you think the average, that guy, would 55 be the average? Would the average maybe 30 acres for that rec ground or?
I'd say 40 to 80.
40 to 80.
Yeah. It's hard to find an 80-acre patch of woods. Now,
around here.
It's easier to find 160 than it is an 80, or a 250 than it is an 80. That's all. Or CRP, stuff like that, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, he's a good guy. I've known him for quite a while. And but we looked and looked and looked, and we finally got him a decent piece of ground. That was when there wasn't so much ground on the market. Now there is. There's just not a lot in Clay and Wayne County where we was looking.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's something, too, I guess. You've got certain guys that are looking for certain things. Like, it's not just necessarily, hey, I want a piece of ground. It's just like anything else. I want this range of acreage in this county or these some area of these two counties, right?
That's exactly the way it is, because then I've got people that want it in these counties. I got people that want a mix of tillable and rec ground, so they have some income to pay for. I've got guys that just want straight rec ground. They'll take CPR or CRP on it, mm-hmm. because then they still have some income. And so it's crazy. Just, I mean, I've got a billboard at home or a chalkboard at home. It's got all my stuff on it for people wanting what they want, what mm-hmm. price range they want. Now they have had to up their price ranges some in the last 2 years. Because one guy from Wisconsin, he was wanting, 2 years ago, he's wanting to buy 40 acres and he's wanting to pay $160,000 for it. And that ain't happening now.
Not now,
you know,
probably. I wouldn't think so, you know.
Yeah, not the way he wants it.
Right. You know? Yeah, not if it's got any tillable, I would think, for sure.
Now, we do have, like, Curtis down south and Mike and Kurt Rogers, or Spalding. Curtis Rogers, he's kind of got a little land management business, and, mm-hmm. you know, he's had a guy come in and buy, like, a 330-acre section or piece of ground that was all rec ground. Then he went in and managed it, put plots on it, put trails on it, put stands on it, and then started mm-hmm. selling those off, you know, 30 to 60 or 100 acres, whatever somebody wanted.
Yeah.
Man, that didn't last no time.
I'm sure.
Because you have those guys that just want to come in, get out of their truck, walk up there and hunt.
Yeah.
And then that works good for Curtis, because then he can manage it for them throughout the year, so they're not up here.
Right.
They're not up here doing the, you know, planting, mm-hmm. frost seeding. Or,
they don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, they don't have to worry about it.
Showing up in deer season and hunting.
Yeah. Yep. So, but it's pretty well across the board. Everything's still selling real well.
Yeah. So, you've got some new stuff going on, your own kind of real estate transactions and whatnot.
Yeah. We
hammer swinging, he said.
Yeah, I've been. I was telling your dad I look like somebody's been on
meth.
Okay. We bought a building in Flora. We talked about this last fall. And with me being a Radix dealer, you know, I've sold a ton of those blinds.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of thought, if I can get these out there where I can carry more, I think I can sell more.
Right.
So we made a big splash at the end of the year. I needed to spend some money, so I bought 20 of the blinds. So basically now we bought a building where we've been demoing it. So basically in Florida, we're going to have a real estate office for me and Jacob, mm-hmm. and then we're going to have a store for RG Outdoors.
Yeah.
And the blinds will be set up out front. Still trying to figure out what I'm going to do with the tree stands, whether I'm going to set them up inside in the showroom or if I'm going to put them outside. We sell Tacticams, so we'll have those.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got a dealership for Fission Cycles, electric bikes.
You found some, huh?
I found some, yeah. And that was a chore. Nobody wanted to call you back.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding. That's a hot item, man.
It is a hot item, and there's nobody right here that sells them.
No.
There's nobody. And I got to get an order placed here before the end of May. I got to buy 6 bikes at once to get a discount. So probably going to do that. We won't be ready at the store, but I'm going to go ahead and get my blinds out as soon as I get my shipment.
Right.
It's just supposed to be here. I talked to Clifford 2 weeks ago, or week before last, and he said it was going to be 2 weeks. So
should be coming up then.
Yeah, so we should be getting Jeff's stands in and your stands and stuff all at the same time. They're all in the order.
Yeah. That's having the building's going to help out a lot, you think?
I do. I think the exposure, people seeing them, because, in a year and a half, well, close to two, well, basically a year and a half, I've sold 50-some of those blinds, you know.
Without having them set out.
Without having them set out anywhere, except for we had one at Act Automotive at Troy's, which it was back up close to the building, so it wasn't very visible.
Right.
We had one at our office in Salem. But up here, we're right on that curve going around Hucks, and I was telling your dad there's 7,200 cars go through there a day. It's the highest car count in Florida.
Yeah.
So I think once we get those out there, we'll get a lot more of them sold. And I've took the dive and bought two hard-sided ones myself. And
there you go.
And so we're going to have those set up so people can get in them and look at them and see what they look like. And
those, I think they'll, between the quality of those and the price of them, if anybody's looking for a hard-sided blind, those things will sell theirself too.
I mean, all of us here have been at several shows here, and there's just not anything else out there that I feel like compares to the quality and then the price.
Yeah. In that space,
nothing's
close.
I mean, you can get some cheaper blinds, but they're 4x4s.
They're cheaper blinds.
They're cheaper blinds, exactly. And then you can get a lot more expensive ones too that I don't feel like are any better quality than
for the money what those Ridings are. Not. Yeah.
You know, we seen blinds for $6,000 at the ATA show, and I'm thinking, holy cow. I mean, the blinds that, you know, the hard sided ones just as good as those for the price.
Another thing I like about those is the shippability of them.
Yeah.
Like they break down their panels, so it's not one big molded thing, which other companies use as a marketing point that they're all molded one piece or whatever, but then you got to have...
You got to have a tractor out in the middle of the woods to get one put up if you want to put one in the woods.
And you got
to
have some way to haul it, trailer.
Yeah.
You can't just throw it in the back of a truck, you know, it's...
No.
These Radics, you could literally, if you had a SUV, small car, you could load that thing up in there, and if you had enough willpower, you could put it up without really much equipment.
Yeah.
You know?
I've got two sold... that we're going to go over to Centralia.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what I'm going to do is I might see if I can put the stand together, at least part of it, at home or at the shop, put them on a trailer, take my side-by-side. I can't get my truck down in there.
Right.
But I think I can get my side-by-side down in there and then, you know, take them that way and set them up and then get, you know, lift up the – or set it over – put the 10-foot stand up and then set it up and put the sides on it because those are heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not light. And the stands are heavier too.
The stands are built heavier.
So.
Yeah. So, but then with that being said, we're going to carry all those. We're going to have those displayed. We've got the tree stands. We're going to carry those. We have the ground blinds. That's Nathaniel took it. So, I don't have one right now, but but those are nice ground blinds.
Yes, they are.
We'll get those in again probably later in the season. Probably going to get some of Clifford's cameras as well.
And now that you've got the store, you'll have more room for, adding stuff too, I'm sure. Yeah. But the time you get the Tacticams in there and all the Radic stuff and the bikes, which I want to talk about in a second, and everything else you got, and then having your office in there for just real estate stuff, you're going to have, you're going to feel a good part of a building.
Yeah, and what's good about it is the building has office space, and it's got two bays because it's an old gas station.
Yeah.
Well, the one bay, we're actually going to raise the floor up, and that's going to be our showroom. And then the other bay is going to be the storage.
There you go.
So it's going to work well. I think between any time you can have one thing driving the other thing, I think that's going to help a bunch.
Yeah.
So people come in that don't necessarily, you know, when they come in to buy Tacticams, they might say, hey, you know, I'm looking for this piece of ground, or I might have this piece of ground for sale.
Right.
You know, or vice versa.
Yeah, someone sees a blind outside and comes to look at it, and then and maybe they didn't realize you do real estate. They say, "Oh, well, you know, I'm kind of in the market." Or
yeah,
yeah,
we're looking for this, looking for that, mm-hmm. and so that's going to help to drive business both ways.
Sure.
Yeah,
and so I'm hoping that goes well.
Yeah,
we're going to get the blind set up and before the building's done. I know that.
Yeah,
because I'm going to have to.
You're doing quite a bit of renovating.
Yeah, that building was built in 1947.
Okay.
And it had an inside bathroom, and it had an outside bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the old gas stations had two outside bathrooms. So then there was a storage room. So basically, it's like a 15 by 20 now that we've taken all the walls out. So we had to take all the walls out that was up.
Mm-hmm.
And those walls had some, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of those walls had ceramic tile on top of the mortar, on top of the concrete mortar stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not old enough to probably know what concrete mortar is, but concrete mortar is about that thick, and then it's got real sharp wire behind
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what all that's from, the scrapes and cuts
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah.
And basically we had to sledgehammer that stuff out because there's nothing that'll cut it because you can't cut concrete and wire at the same
steel,
time.
Steel, yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, somebody said, go get you a carbide bit for your, or carbide blade for your grinder. And then I talked to another guy and he said, yeah, it'll cut it, but you're going to go through so many of them, it's not even funny. So,
right. Just busting it out.
Yeah. So Jacob's boss last year, he had stopped by one day and Jacob texted him and said, hey, bring your concrete chisel. Or your power chisel. That's helped a bunch
because
we can actually get into it and get it broke and then start beating it out with the sledgehammer. But mm-hmm. I've realized I'm too old to swing a sledgehammer very much. I'm glad it's about over.
Yeah, I bet.
I got at about noon today, I got done with all the rest of the concrete walls that needed to come down. And with the inside of the building, it's a brick building. So we're exposing all the brick.
Yeah.
Like Hunter did
out here. Yeah.
And we wasn't going to go ahead and expose part. There's some that's still behind the concrete mortar. We're just going to leave that. But once I found out how easy that comes off, it's a no-brainer to take it off because then I don't have to spend any money covering that concrete mortar stuff back up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because we're just going to have to chip off that wall or something.
Right.
You know, we're struggling to what was going to do. So by Saturday evening, everything's going to be done
mm-hmm.
as far as our demo, except for little stuff.
Right.
I still got some 2x4s to cut because the ceilings and those was really tall.
Mm-hmm.
The outside of the building, it's got tile on it. It's porcelain stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take all that off and expose the brick. We're putting new windows in it, new doors.
Right.
Stuff like that. So.
Yeah, that's all the fun stuff.
Yep, but I've got a soft-sided blind I'm going to get put together and get up there, and then as soon as Clifford gets me my order, I'm going to put a hard side together and get set out.
That's the best sign you can have.
That is.
I mean, really, people are going to see that, and it's in that curve there where you talk about. Yeah, it's them blinds will,
yep.
I think, grab a lot of attention.
And there's nobody around us that's selling them. I've seen a guy now down at Jeff, they're north of Barnard's old sales.
Mm-hmm.
He's selling portable buildings, and he's got some blinds out there, but they look like there's some cheaper blinds. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm excited to get that going. So at least we get those out there, and you get, you know, people noticing those. As far as the office goes, really I had to get the demo done because we got to put in a handicap bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So once he gets that all cut out and that in, then we'll start going back with the ceiling. We're going to put up a new ceiling, put drywall on it. Walls, we don't have to do anything. Got to do some electrical work and then floor it. So that shouldn't take
too
long.
Be too bad.
Did it have an old lift in it still?
No, it didn't have a lift in it. I don't know that it ever had a lift in it.
No kidding. A lot of them old had one lift in one of them bays you're talking about, you know.
The old lifts. Yeah. No, it didn't have anything. It still got a pit.
Yeah.
Excited to get all that done, and then
Well, tell us about the bikes, because I haven't. I knew you were looking for them, and every time we go to a show, you're grabbing like 10 pamphlets, 10 pamphlets. For electric bikes. So I'm glad to hear you finally found some.
Yeah. What really got me turned on to the bikes was one of the guys, one of my buddies up there at Flora, he got a Quiet Cat 3 or 4 years ago, mm-hmm. and he paid big money for it. It's like $3,200.
Yeah.
But he really likes it. And then I got to watching a lot more about him and talk to a guy that hunts Shawnee. And he said before he'd walk into his stand, because, you know, that's public ground mm-hmm. or private ground.
Yeah.
He said it'd take him, he'd walk in a mile or 2 miles into his stand. It'd take him forever to get in.
Yeah.
He said, by the time I'm there, I'm sweating, I'm hot. So then I get in a stand and I'm cold.
Mm-hmm.
He said he bought a bike. And he said, I can get in there in 15 minutes, quiet.
Not sweating.
And get my stand, and I'm good.
Yeah.
And he bought a trailer for his, too. Said he got in there, and he killed a nice buck. Well, you throw it on that trailer, and you drag it out, mm-hmm. you know.
Sweet.
So I got to thinking more and more about them. Then my brother-in-law in Bloomington, they bought some just, they're just regular bikes.
Right.
Regular electric bikes.
Yeah.
And they paid big money for those, and I thought, man, them can't be that expensive. So I got to looking around, you know, when we was out at the ATA show,
mm-hmm.
and I looked at several different companies, and I liked the Fission bikes the best. They just seemed like, for what they was, and I don't know any of the specs on them, other than I can get them in 500cc
mm-hmm.
and 500 volt, 750 volt,
mm-hmm.
but, which I'll learn all that stuff, but...
Right.
They were the ones that actually took the time with me to explain the bikes, look at the bikes, show me what they was. None of the others did that.
Which is worth a lot, not only as the end consumer, but also you as a dealer.
Yeah, because I don't know anything about them.
Right.
I mean, if you're at the ATA show, that's what you're supposed to be there for.
Mm-hmm.
Quiet Cat, I couldn't even get anybody talk to me.
Yeah.
Baku bikes, I did like those. They were a little out of my price point where I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was called Rungo. They were way out of price point. And then I looked at a couple other brands, Rev. I was able to finally get Rev to talk to me via email. But I kept going back to the Fission.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted a Fission. So I actually... got on their website, sent out the stuff to the Fiat dealers. Never heard anything from them. Excuse me. And after about 2 months, I was getting frustrated. So I just got on their website again and looked for a dealer that was around. I thought, okay, I'm going to call a dealer.
Mm-hmm.
So I called the dealer in Warrensburg, Missouri. Super nice guy. He said, well, here, call Matt Thiel. He is a distributor up in Minnesota. So I called Matt. This was on a Friday. He called me back on a Monday. Well, just so happens, he has been talking to me about Titan blinds. So for about 2 years.
Yeah.
When I first started looking at blinds. And I didn't end up with the Titan blinds because, you know, they have a minimum in order.
Right.
Radix doesn't. But anyway, he said, yeah. I said, send in all your information. He said, I'm going to send you the packets. You send in your dealer information, and we'll get you set up.
Mm-hmm.
And but the bikes, I think they run around $1,600, 16 to 19. I think the 500 volt are around $1,600, and the other bike, the 750s, mm-hmm. are about 1,900. Mm-hmm. So they're not a deal breaker like some of them are.
Right,
they do have some. I would say 4 or 5 years ago. Guys wouldn't know the difference between a street bike and a bike like we're talking about. But most of the listeners now, I would say, has a picture in their mind of the bike that we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, the hunting bike with the bigger tires and
all bigger frame.
Stuff, bigger frame, heavier frame, all that stuff that you go across country with. And I think the market's going to just keep going, getting bigger.
I do too, and I think it's going to be a game changer for some older people,
mm-hmm,
that can't walk anymore. I think it really will be.
Even for the younger guys, like you said earlier, if you have a any kind of distance, just the fact that you don't got to sweat getting in, because, and then it cuts down your time tremendously, because number one, you're not walking it, but also if you're trying to not sweat and you're trying to be quiet, you're going pretty slow anyway, and then you're not leaving as much
scent.
It's not as intrusive either, I don't feel like, because you're not, your pant legs aren't brushing up against everything you're walking against. You're up off the ground a little bit more, so even if you've got 8 to 10 inches of grass or weeds you're walking through, you're not brushing up against them like you would be if you were walking through it. It's,
I think the scent control is a big deal.
It is.
Because on those bikes, because you got 2 rubber tires on the ground. Mm-hmm. That's all you have.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
My buddy up at Flora, he said last fall during shotgun season, he rode his bike in, and his stand is on the backside of the property. He had trails cut through it. And he said that the target deer he was hunting, he said, when we went in, he said, I went in about 300-400 yards, and it and a doe was laying on the side about of the trail, about 10 yards off the trail.
Mm-hmm.
He just rode right past him. He said, I didn't act like I spooked or did anything, so they didn't. And actually, later on, I think he might have killed them. I don't know if he killed it that morning or the next morning.
But he didn't run it off.
But he didn't run it off.
Walking down through there.
Yeah, because if he'd been walking down through there, that deer had been gone first step in the woods.
Probably before he ever knew it was there.
Yes, he wouldn't have seen that deer.
Right.
But he said it just laid there.
Hey, everybody, I appreciate you tuning in for another episode. If you don't already, go over to Instagram and Facebook and give us a follow at Ridge Hunter Outdoors. We also have a private Facebook group called Ridge Hunter Nation where you guys can have some input on the show. You can ask us questions. You can ask upcoming guests questions. You can tell us who you want us to have on and what you want us to talk about. And on top of all that, just use it as a regular hunting group. Share your stories, your success, pictures, your failures, whatever it is. That's all at Ridge Hunter Nation on Facebook. Our website is RidgeHunterOutdoors.com. That's where you're going to find more info on the consulting and management services that we provide. We also have the podcast posted on the website with some other content as well. And we have our merchandise and our food plot seed. And if you find any of that stuff that you want, make sure you use the discount code RHOPOD. That's all caps, no space. And you get 10% off your entire order there. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or anywhere else that lets you do so, make sure you rate and review. That helps us, and give us a follow there too. YouTube, our channel is Ridge Hunter Outdoors. You can subscribe to that, hit the notification bell so you know when everything comes out. The podcast will be posted there, as is our Fall Pursuit show, which we'll have more of coming up next season. You guys can go back and rewatch everything that we did this year. We had 10 episodes on that. We're hopefully going to do some turkey hunting this spring, and of course, we'll have all our off-season content on YouTube as well. So thanks to everybody who already does follow and subscribe. If you don't, make sure you go do that. Now let's get back to the episode. Another thing for me is, like, if you're pretty limited on your access and you have to, maybe your wind's good for a stand, but it ain't real great, like you're blowing it across part of where they might be bedding sometimes. I feel like if you're on a bike, and we've all seen it when you're sitting in the stand and a deer walks by downwind, the first whiff they get, they kind of go on alert. And if they don't get you, they just keep moving. Or if your wind shifts a little bit and it hits the deer in the face, they look up. And they're looking for whatever they smell, got a whiff of. But if the wind changes back, then they just kind of calm down. Not all of them are going to do that, but a good portion of them. Whereas if that wind's constantly hitting them in the face for 10 seconds, 20 seconds, or a minute, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're going to get you. They're out of there. They're blowing, stomping, whatever, to find out what you are, and they're leaving. I feel like it's the same thing if you're riding a bike where your wind's going down that bedding area. Either you're not going past it for a long enough period of time that really much of your wind is getting down to them.
True.
Or even if it does, it's so quick that it's like, hey, what the heck is that? And then they can't smell it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you're walking, now you're stretching out the amount of time that you're blowing your scent across that bedding area, or maybe deer that are on the side of a trail or that are out early in a food plot you're going by. I feel like the scent, not only ground scent, but also just your scent blowing down towards wherever the deer are at is – you're limiting that as well.
Well, if you're going, just thinking 100 yards, how long it takes you to walk 100 yards.
Exactly.
You know, that bicycle's an inkling of that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he rides his right up to the base of his stand, lays against a tree. So you know there's no scent there.
Right.
On the bike.
Mm-hmm. I wonder demographically if what age group is buying those bikes.
I don't know.
Where I'm going with that is, obviously, we're allowing older hunters, at least in Illinois. I mean, we're getting out past Illinois, but at least in Illinois where you have a lot of crossbow guys. So you've got guys that are hunting using crossbows, maybe for whatever reason they can't pull back a bow, which typically is age.
Mm-hmm.
And so now all of a sudden I've got a guy that's got a crossbow, but now he can't walk, or he can't, maybe he can walk, but he can only go 20, 30 yards at a time. Well, what if I get a $1,600 electric bike? Now I can ride to where I've always hunted. I got a crossbow. I can pull it back. I'm just wondering if the demographics are any different.
Well, look at the guys around town. Even the older guys that are maybe they used to, they would ride bikes around town or whatever, just here in Wayne City. There's a decent number of those guys that have electric bikes now. Now they're not deer hunters, but I feel like it's the same idea. They just like getting around town and when it's nice weather, you know, and being outdoors. If you're now older, that same age group, but you're a deer hunter, why wouldn't you use the electric bike? It's just as accessible to them, you know?
Yeah. Well, what got me on this was not last year. It was last year to Peoria Deer Classic.
Mm-hmm.
And we just got done with that back in March. A gentleman from Albers or Aviston, he started his own electric bike company, and he had asked Brandon if he could put one of the bikes in our booth. So we did.
Mm-hmm.
He had a show special, $1,100. That was the only one he had. If anybody wanted one, we had to take orders. I bet I could have sold that bike 25 times.
Yeah.
I bet I could have sold it to Amish 15 of those 25 times.
No kidding. Yeah.
So the Amish are buying these electric bikes. Because every Amish that come up and looked at them, almost, you know, most of them said, well, we have this one, or we have this brand, or we have this brand. So there's another market there.
Yeah. Oh, especially in our area.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because between us and you, there's a lot of
there's a lot of Amish.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that one. Yeah.
Yeah. But like you said, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, they just bought it for recreation.
Mm-hmm.
They just bought them to ride the bike trails that's up there in Bloomington.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll see a lot of that. My wife wants one.
Yeah.
She's not going to want one like I'm going to have.
Right. But you can do, I mean, they could be dual purpose too. You can use them. You're going to be able to use those things out in the woods for sure. But then if you want to just go for a ride around town.
That big wheel's not going to make any difference. It's just going to make your ride better, basically.
Yeah. Might make a little bit more noise, but not that much.
But I think those will be good. I've mentioned it to two or three people, and they said, well, when you get them in, let me know. I want to look at them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was about a 75-year-old woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be curious to see them, too, when you get them in, because I've got places that I think they would be really beneficial.
Yeah.
Well, just that'll be something else that'll fill your showroom, too. That'll look good in your store, you know.
You was talking about the old man, you know, that had to stop every 30 or 40 yards. Well, just back to the scent. Look how much scent he's leaving.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And now he doesn't. I just think they're going to be a game changer for hunting.
Oh, they definitely are. I think they definitely are, if especially now that, like what you're saying, you can get them that are affordable. Because back, even when they first came out and when Quiet Cat was really the big name, and I think maybe Rambo came in somewhere after that, they're almost out just on the price.
Oh, yeah.
Most people were.
Oh, what was it, $3,000-$4,000?
Yeah, some of them more than
Quiet Cat that Adam bought was $3,200.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that right there puts half the guys out of the market.
Yeah. Well, that's just like, Scott, you'll remember this when VCRs come out.
Yeah.
Microwaves.
Oh, yeah, right.
A VCR was $250. Now you can buy one you can't buy one anymore. But,
right.
But you used to be able to buy them
for $5.
Yeah. You used to be able to buy them new for $75 now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, same way with microwaves. Same way with
everything. When it's new, they're the first company out there, so they can price them higher, and then people start doing it better and more efficiently and cheaper. And now that they've been out for a while, you're finding brands like Vision that are doing it probably a little more efficiently and still have a good product, but they're not pricing out half their market.
Exactly. I'm going to add some plot seed in too.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
need to get some seed from you guys and then decide what I want to do.
Yeah.
For different things.
And you might as well too.
Yeah. Right? Because, again, there's nobody up there sells it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No, and even around, if you don't go to a big box store, like, I take orders for Grandpa Ray stuff, but it's not like I'm, I don't have a building to put it out in, you know. Mm-hmm. But unless you go to like Dunham's, and even if you go to those Dunham's, Walmart, Orchlands, or whatever it used to be up there, they're not selling good stuff.
No.
They're selling...
You know, I heard you talking about that on a podcast.
Yeah. They're selling the stuff that's... They're just getting your money.
Yep.
You're not getting that much bang for your buck, really. They're not selling good quality seeds, so it's hard to find that anywhere.
And, I mean, again, at the ATA show, I kind of looked around at the plot seed mm-hmm. as well. You know, you've got Big Tine, which I think is a probably a quality product.
Mm-hmm.
One of our guys has got a dealership of Big Tine, so mm-hmm. might get some stuff off mm-hmm. him. Antler King, I think, gets overpriced,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
I think Antler King has some good stuff, and then they also have some of that stuff that they put on the Walmart shelf. Yeah. And I'm not blaming them for doing it, because they throw a cheaper price on it, and they put it on the Walmart shelf, and somebody that doesn't know any better will buy it and throw mm-hmm. it out, and if they get too dear to come in and eat it, they're happy.
Yeah.
Don't blame them for taking advantage of that market, but at the same time, if you know better, there's better stuff out there.
There's better stuff out there.
And there's a few companies like that.
Yep.
But
sorry, guys.
No, you're good.
It's easier to sustain a plot over a longer period of times if you're trying to sustain it with good quality seed.
Well, you can't right now. I can't even get to my plots
no,
right
but
now.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah,
you're going to end up spending twice duration. As much money in the yeah. long run with your less quality seed, or maybe the seed's okay, but if there's less of it in there and there's more inert matter in yep. that package that you're buying than what you would get off of somebody, you
and
know.
If it's been on the shelf for 2-3 years and it was
germination
tested
go down.
3 years ago, then yeah,
yeah,
so there's all that stuff that it's a market thing.
It is,
you know.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that too. Probably, I mean, I'll be able to get some fall stuff, but
mm-hmm.
then wintertime, get some spring stuff again. But
yeah,
I frost seeded my plots and thought, well, I'll go get them mowed and get them sprayed.
Yeah, not getting out there now, are you?
The plot at the house, I can get to that one. And the clover came up really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kept it mowed. I haven't sprayed it yet because I was going to spray them all at once.
Right.
Yeah. But I cringed to go look at the other two. One of them I can't even get to.
Right. That's kind of where I'm at with some client plots that I got right now. I know I need to go mow them, and they're gonna need sprayed, but I can't get to them and do more harm than good, or bury the tractor or the four wheeler trying to get to them.
Right now, Jeff's looks pretty good, but
Jeff's we've been able to get to his and take care of it. So, like you said, like you're there by the house, I'm sure those ones are doing fine. It's just so dang wet.
Yeah,
I just hope that it doesn't turn into like the last couple of years, really wet spring, and then we got nothing from
nothing
June
fall.
Through November. But hopefully, yep. it'll be a little better this year.
I frost seeded 1, 2, 3, 4 plots and mm-hmm. put it on pretty heavy. So,
mm-hmm.
like I said, I haven't even seen the other three.
Well, they should have some clover in them, probably.
Yeah.
They should have.
And that's the thing. If you go look at them and they don't look great, I mean, you know, you mow them, you spray them, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
As long as they got clover underneath the weeds and the grass, it'd be fine.
The one that you and I went and looked at where we had my tower, you mm-hmm. know, my erratic stand and that other one.
Yep.
I frost seeded in front of both of those stands.
Yeah.
And then... and. Fall, I was going to put something between them, like you and I
like
kind of talked about.
Yep.
And so we'll see how those look.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm sure you'll have something.
I hope, because yeah. that's deer heaven up there.
Yeah, it's good spots.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for everything you got going on, all new stuff. Is there anything that we didn't touch on that you want to hit?
Something else I'm doing. I've talked to you about it. I'm also a Radix.
Mm-hmm.
Sales rep for the states of Indiana, Illinois, Kentucky, and Missouri now.
Mm-hmm.
Was at the show in Nashville, Tennessee, WTF show, convention show.
Mm-hmm.
And Clifford and I was talking, and he brought on Jeff Evans. You haven't met Jeff yet.
Nope.
And to be the basically the sales manager.
Take a little bit off of Clifford's plate.
Actually, off Bonnie's plate.
Well, yeah.
right.
Because Clifford said he wanted somebody to get trained and going so Bonnie could be a mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because she was doing all the orders, all the sales.
Because mm-hmm.
he does have some sales reps in different, you know, areas.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking to him down there, and I said, man, you just need to put you on several sales reps. And we got busy, and a couple hours later, I said, you know, I kept thinking about that. I thought, shoot, I can do that. get him going, help mm-hmm. in the states I can help in. So basically I told him, he said, well, go talk to Jeff. So I talked to Jeff, and Jeff said, well, yeah, I said, that's, we can do that. So I'm basically, I've been out three or four times trying to sign up dealerships. It's mm-hmm. it's a little tough because sometimes they don't want to talk to you. But
oh, yeah.
I signed up Ultra. So yeah. Ultra is going to have the Radix line now.
There you go.
For people who don't know it, Clifford and Wes used to hunt together.
Mm-hmm. They used to be all Wes
on Team Harvest.
Those guys and Nate all used to be in the same group. Yeah. So yeah.
So they got to know each other. It was funny when I first started talking about the blinds, and was talking to Nate, and then he said, "Well, I know that guy, Clifford yeah. Martin. Is he a Mennonite?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, he used to hunt with Team Harvest." So. Yeah. So that's yeah. kind of a neat
small world kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. Yeah. How it all came around, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm doing that. Haven't been able to get out as much as I want to, but
yeah.
I told him, I said, you know, it might be two or three times a month. It might not, you know.
Well, things have been pretty hectic for you too, so.
Yeah.
Once you get this new building settled and everything in, I'm sure it'll slow down. You'll have a little bit more time for that probably.
Yeah. I seen at the WTF show, if he had more dealers, he could sell a lot more blinds.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. you know, you had people from Kentucky coming up and looking at those soft-sided blinds, or not from Kentucky, but down south, that if they didn't have to pay for shipping, if he, you know, if they brought a truck and had a way to get them home, stuff like that. So if you're going to a show, take a truck.
Yeah, no you know. Doubt.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I mean, you know,
especially
don't take a
if
car.
You're going for the last day, because yeah. you're going to get some
you're
deals.
You're going to get some deals.
Stuff. Yeah.
So, but yeah, kind of looking forward to getting back into that a mm-hmm. little bit more. This building's going to have my time consumed for another month, but
yeah.
But after that, I'll hopefully get out and get him signed up. I'm not going to try to travel, but no more than 3 hours, where I can be back home in 3 hours.
Yeah.
But
and you can hit Indiana, Kentucky, Missouri, Illinois all in 3 hours.
Yeah,
so.
Pretty well. Yeah. And the thing about it, now that I can also, when I go to the shows with Clifford, the ones that we don't do, then I can say, well, I'm your sales manager for this area, you know, contact me or
yeah.
can I come by and see you, you mm-hmm. know, whatever. Once people see the quality of them.
Right.
And that's it. He hasn't been able to get them out.
He's got to get them out there, yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's just doing these shows, and yeah,
and he's doing really well.
He's doing really well. That one in Pennsylvania, that 11-day yeah. show, they sold over $200,000 worth of blinds. That's a lot of blinds.
That's a lot yeah. of blinds.
It is.
And
at his price points.
At his price points.
Yeah.
And his booth at, we didn't even have a hard-sided blind at Nashville because his booth wasn't big enough.
Yeah.
So all he took was a soft. So. He's hopefully getting that rectified. If you guys haven't been to that show, you need to go. Just walk around.
Yeah, I was going to try yeah. to go this year and didn't end up getting to make it. But hopefully next year I'll at least be able to go for a day. Even if we go help Clifford at that show, it'd be good.
Yeah.
And I know so many people that are at that show, they're like, hey, you need to come. Just guys that we've done podcasts with have become friends now. Guys from down south, all the big turkey hunters are there.
They're all
you
there.
You know, so.
Yeah, Waddell was there for a couple of days, which that's his. You know, turkey hunting's his thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know, but yeah, that was an interesting show. There was a lot of people. I sent you guys pictures of the
yeah,
people.
Yeah, there was, just, it looked like a lot of people.
I want to say this now that I said that. If I was a person wanting to go to, just walk through the booths, I'd be so mad and discouraged. It wouldn't even be fun.
Right, because there's so many people
Because there's so many people. I mean, to go to the bathroom or to go get something to eat or drink was a chore.
Yeah.
And it was that way for, I think, started on Thursday and ran until Saturday evening. And it was that way most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
But there was a lot of stuff there. A lot of dealers, a lot of things.
That's one of the biggest shows, if not the biggest outdoor show.
Yeah, I think it was over 500 dealers there.
Yeah. Especially in the Midwest.
75.
Well, South.
Mid-South. 75,000 yeah. people, I think, went through there in those 3 days.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. We got the Deer and Beer Fest coming up. That's our next show, right?
Yep. Yep. That's August. Then we have the.
We're all going to kind of be there in the same block, I think.
I think I'm right next to you guys, and we're right behind Clifford. So. Mm-hmm.
That'll be good.
And then.
Not too far. Is Waddell there?
he's
Waddell's
show.
Just on the just other corner, just around the corner.
Because
I got kicked out of my old booth because somehow they was doing changing things around so Waddell could have what he wanted over there.
Right.
Don't they know who you are?
Yeah. Evidently not.
Well, his.
You didn't tell him you knew Nate Burgess, did you?
Yeah, I didn't
know. Didn't know the cowboy.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of leave Blake's name completely out of
it. Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, well, that, yeah.
Tell him you know Nate, you might get somewhere. Tell him you know Blake, they might take you somewhere.
There's a podcast on the other day, and it said Blake Garrett. On maybe it was on Working Class Bowhunters.
Yeah, the other Blake Garrett.
And I thought. I started to look. I thought, well, that ain't Blake. I ain't listening to that.
Yeah. We tell him all. He says that that guy is the Blake Garrett. We tell him all the time that he's the Blake Garrett.
Yeah, so. That's right. But now there's exciting. Everything's exciting. Real estate's exciting. The building's exciting. Doing this with Clifford's exciting.
Yeah.
Just
good times.
Yep.
It is. You know, I think everybody ought to go. Everybody ought to hit a show as a consumer at least once a year. Mm-hmm. I know it's really tough if you're into deer hunting and the show's in, you know, March. Yeah, you're kind of out of that mode, or but you still go and you can talk to people and see things and learn things, and there's all kinds of seminars and other than the WTF down there, it's good stuff, but it's not overly crowded at any of the three shows we've been to. So good times for everybody.
We're also going to do the Southern Illinois Hunting and Fishing Classic again this year.
Yeah.
That's in September, which that's the same as bean days for you guys. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I got a guy who maybe is wanting to run a booth if he's available, so I might end up having a booth. I just won't be there.
Yeah.
And we might have one, but we'll see how that works out. Because I've heard it's a good show.
It's
especially
okay.
For the price.
Yeah, it's okay for the price.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a tremendous amount of people.
Right. It's not like the other ones.
No, it's not like the other ones.
It also doesn't cost like the
other
ones.
But it doesn't cost like the other ones. That's true.
Yeah.
Then there's a show, I guess back in February. It used to be the Western Kentucky Fishing Days. Now they've changed to Hunting and Fishing Days. But it's the same weekend as ATA.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I'll go to the ATA.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's a good one too. So, but you got anything else that we didn't hit?
No, I believe we're good. I mean, we went over
about
everything that got going on.
Everything you got going on. We'll do it again in a few months.
Let us know when you get your shop up and running. I'd like to run up there and just
take a peek
at it, you know?
For sure.
Well, that's it. I was gonna get a hold of Cody and see if
we could do a podcast from the shop.
We could do a podcast from the shop. We're going to have a big open house. So I told Nathaniel, so he probably never told you. But
no, he don't tell me anything.
Okay. We're going to have a big open house.
Secretive that way.
So, you guys can come up if you want to have a booth, a table, and do a podcast from it or whatever you want to do.
Heck
but
yeah.
At least come up and, you know, pass out cards and get information out, you know.
Yeah.
Because that'll be another level of people you don't reach on the local level.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and if it works out, Clifford's coming down.
There you go. I wondered if you would have an open house or anything like that.
Yeah, we're going to. I probably shouldn't say this, but...
Oh, nobody's listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, nobody's listening. Yeah. Right now, anyway. I kind of got a circle drive. So, I'm going to have... I've already told all of my fellow real estate agents that's got their trucks plastered with Midwest Farm and Land.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to plaster that driveway with all these trucks for one person in town. So
there you go.
But yeah, we're probably going to cook some pork burgers and just do a giveaway, and I don't know what we'll give away, probably a trail camera or something. If Clifford comes down and wants to split giving away a blind, we might give away a blind.
Yeah, there you go.
But he said he'd try to come if he could, which I told him. I said, I know this is a long way for you. I said, you know, we're going to do this. I just wanted to offer it to you. And
yeah.
I said, if it's where I can come, I'll come. So
cool.
But that's probably going to be, I would say, or May. I'd say it's going to be July or August.
Mm-hmm. Well, for sure, let us know. We'll come up and we'll do something.
So, looking forward to doing that.
And we'll keep people updated, too. When you get open, we'll let them know about the open house on the podcast and everything.
Yep.
That way they can show up and meet you in person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, again, we're going to have blinds up here, hopefully within the next couple of weeks. So,
cool.
At least going to have a soft up.
There you go.
Then I get the hards in. I'll get those. And then get
We may have to have a cowboy line.
Yeah.
You know, a line just to, for the cowboy if he shows up.
Well, yeah. It'll be like the Michael Waddell's booth there at the Deer and Beer Fest. We'll have the Nate Burgess.
Have to make a cowboy line. Yes. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That way people can get their autographs and
right.
whatnot.
Well, that's where I was going.
Yeah. Pictures and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Waddell will draw a crowd up there.
Yeah. I think it'll be good.
Yeah.
I think it'll be good. So, looking forward to that. Looking forward to the shop opening up, everything else you got going on. We're excited for you, so I appreciate you coming in.
Yep.
Obviously, you're busy, so appreciate you driving down and doing another podcast with us.
I'll enjoy it.
Yep.
So.
All right. Well, people can catch you on the next one.
Yep. We'll be around. Come see us.